And so welcome today to actually the third talk in a series of talks that is based on Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. And so really her book and all of these talks are really about how to live a joyful life. And so last week we talked about one of the things that enables us to live a joyful life is to fulfill that need that we each have within ourselves to be seen and to be heard and to be known and to feel like we belong. And that the prerequisite to feeling seen and known and like we really belong is actually self-acceptance and then to show up authentically. Because if we aren't accepting ourselves and if we aren't showing up authentically, we're never going to feel like we are really seen and known or like we belong. And then last week we talked about we have a need, all of us within ourselves, to know that we are lovable and to know that we are worthy and to know that we are worthy of being loved. And if we are not feeling lovable and worthy of being loved, one of the things that we are most often doing is identifying with our mistakes. Just like Stacy was just talking about, her son identifying with what had gone wrong. We identify with what we have done wrong, and that ends up having us feeling like we are somehow less than. And so we are identifying then with our mistakes instead of identifying with our essence, the essence of beauty and of goodness and of love and of light that we are. So that's what's going on in those times. And that some of the things that shift that are practicing self-kindness and practicing recognizing our shared humanity, meaning that we are all in this together, that we all feel the same things, that we all do the same things, that we aren't the only ones that make those mistakes and do those things, to practice mindfulness, which means to pay attention so that we even know that we're telling ourselves a story and have gotten into that line of thinking, and to do spiritual practice. And when we do all of those things, it moves us from feeling less than to feeling our wholeness, to feeling our goodness, and to living in joy. And so the title of my talk today is The Joy Factor. And I'm talking about how it is our attitude and our focus that create the experience that we are having in the world. That living with an attitude of gratitude expands our experience of the good that we have in our lives, and in turn, it moves us into joy. I know that every one of us in this room, we want to be living in joy. We want to be living with a sense of peace and with a sense of ease, and when difficulties and challenges happen in our lives, we want to be able to bounce back and to move into that place of joy again. I think to begin with, it's really important to understand the difference between happiness and joy, because happiness is always tied to circumstances. We feel happy when we do something like beat your spouse at Yahtzee. Do you feel happy when you do that? If we feel happy when we get a new car or when we get a new pair of shoes, because they're so cute. We feel happy when we retire or when we get to take a trip to Hawaii or when we get a day off. All of those things make us feel happy. But feeling happy is related to people and to places and to circumstances. And feeling happy is fleeting, because happiness is dependent on what's going on in our world, so it fluxes and it changes depending on what's going on in our lives. And so joy, on the other hand, is tied to our spirit. And joy is tied to gratitude. It is tied to and derived from how we look at the world and how we look at our lives and how we look at our circumstances. And then that attitude of joy actually ends up permeating everything that is actually in our lives. And so it shifts everything else that's going on in our lives when we are coming from that attitude of joy. And so I think that joy is reminiscent of delight. And it's reminiscent of treasuring. And it's reminiscent of wonder. And so, yes, I can absolutely feel grateful for my new car or my new shoes. And it feels exciting. That kind of gratitude feels exciting for those new things. But I also feel incredibly grateful for clouds and for flowers and for love and for my relationship that I have and for touch and for connection. I feel grateful for strawberries and for my soft bed that I get to sleep in at night. I feel grateful that I can see, and I feel grateful for the spiritual path that I am walking, and I am grateful for my growth, and I am grateful to be alive, and I am grateful for life itself. Those are different. That has a totally different feeling to it. Do you see that? Than being happy about having a new car or new shoes. And so gratitude, being in gratitude, brings us a sense of joy, but it's more than just an emotion. It's a consciousness, and it's a feeling that kind of permeates everything. It's an energy and a vibration. And that gratitude, I think, is then about being in that place where my spirit is in alignment with the good that fills my life. And my spirit, in that kind of gratitude, is in alignment with the infinite good that fills this universe. It's like my spirit is witness to the good, witness to that infinite good. And in celebration of that, it's like my spirit has come forward and is feeling that. The good that is ever present, the good that is always at the center of my life, it's recognizing that. And so gratitude and joy, I think, are my spirit celebrating all that is and recognizing all that is and the good in that. And so then, if joy is inherent to our being, if it's part of our spiritual makeup and always within us, why is it then that we don't feel joy all the time? I read a survey recently that was out of Mindful Magazine, and the question in the survey was, what makes you feel fulfilled? 74% of people said they find fulfillment in appreciating what they have. 64% of people said they find fulfillment in a job well done. Meanwhile, notoriety made 4% of people feel fulfilled. Twice as many as tequila. Which was 2%. Sometimes we think that tequila is going to make us feel better, but it really doesn't. So seriously, if joy is a part of our being, why don't we feel it all the time? You know, I think one of the biggest reasons we don't feel joy all the time is because we focus so much of the time on what we don't have. We focus on the lack. And then not only do we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have, then we have this running dialogue that goes on in our heads all the time about how we don't have this and we don't have that and there isn't enough of this and there isn't enough of that in my life. And so in her book, Brené Brown speaks to that. She says, "For me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. The next one is, I don't have enough time. Whether true or not, the thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we even think to question or examine it. We spend most of the hours of our day and our lives hearing, explaining, complaining, and worrying about what we don't have enough of. We don't have enough exercise, we don't have enough work, we don't have enough profits, we don't have enough power, we don't have enough wilderness, we don't have enough weekends, or of course, we don't have enough money, ever. We're not thin enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, or fit enough, or educated, or successful enough, or rich enough, ever. Before we even sit up in bed, before our feet touch the floor, we're already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our mind races with a litany of what we didn't get done, what we didn't get, or what we didn't get done that day. We go to sleep burdened by those thoughts and wake up with the reverie of lack. We spend so much time focused on what we don't have that it puts us in a state of anxiety and of doubt and of fear and of frustration and of overwhelm. And then we live in that consciousness. And when we are in that consciousness, it doesn't matter how much good we have in our lives because it's obscured by our focus of focusing on what it is that we don't have enough of. If you don't know this, we cannot have two opposing thoughts at the same time. You cannot think about how much you don't have at the same time of how blessed you are by all that you do have. You can't be angry at the same time and be happy at the same time. It's impossible to hold two opposing ideas or feelings at the same time. And so the problem is then about focusing on what we don't have. And so on the other hand, sufficiency is about enoughness. And sufficiency, Brené Brown talks about, isn't an amount. It isn't two steps down from poverty, two steps up from poverty, and one step down from having enough abundance in your life. Sufficiency is an attitude. Sufficiency is a context that we generate. Sufficiency is an intentional way of seeing our life and of seeing the world. It's about knowing that there is enough and that we are enough. When we are in an attitude of sufficiency, it enables us to witness the abundance of good that we have in our lives. It puts us looking through that lens, so that's what we see. Sufficiency allows us to see all the good that's around us. And gratitude for what we have puts us in a state and a mindset of sufficiency. And there's a story that you may have heard that I'd like to share with you. It says in 2008, a young Australian woman, Haley Bartholomew, found that she wasn't enjoying life. She described herself as feeling lost and stuck on a treadmill. It was almost inexplicable. She was married to a man she loved and had beautiful children who held her heart. So why was she feeling so down about her life? Haley sought the counsel of a nun who advised her to spend time each day reflecting on something for which she was grateful. Haley began a project called 365 Grateful. Every day she took a photograph of something she was grateful for. It changed her life, for it allowed her to see the things she'd never noticed before. Haley had always thought that her husband was unromantic. One day she took a picture of him serving up dinner, the thing that she was grateful for that day. She noticed for the first time that the largest portion of pie was placed on her plate. She realized that the largest portion was always placed on her plate, and that that was one small but profound way her husband showed his care for her. Haley had found mothering, quote, a boring job, but she took pictures of her children holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring, and she discovered how much joy and wonder they were in her world. Through the art of gratitude, Haley found herself lifted out of her rut and celebrating life. Our gratitude enables us to see all the things that are going on in our lives. Our gratitude makes us witness to those things that are in our lives. In Foundations class, there's a quote in the workbook, and it says, "When in gratitude, there is no room for doubt, lack, judgment, or fear." I want to say that again. When in gratitude, there is no room for doubt, lack, judgment, or fear. It doesn't exist when we're in gratitude. Brené Brown says, joy is what happens when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. That puts us in joy when we're in recognition of that good in our lives. So when we practice gratitude, it shifts our focus, it shifts our mood, and in turn, it totally shifts our experience. And in that shift of experience and of mood and of perspective, it shifts our attitude and it shifts our vibration, and then we draw ever more good to us because of that law of attraction. Feeling gratitude creates a vibration of love inside of us because we love those things that are in our lives. We love strawberries and clouds and flowers. Gratitude puts us and creates an atmosphere of joy and of appreciation, and it opens our hearts and it opens our bodies and it opens our hands. It opens us to the good that is all around us. And because we are so much more open, we are more open to receiving more good from the universe. Eric Butterworth, who is a master teacher on abundance, says that gratitude is more than a reactive emotion. It is a causative energy. It causes even more good in our lives. And Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says the law is impersonal. It is compelled by its very nature to return to the thinker exactly what he or she thinks into it. It's like a coffee maker. A coffee maker doesn't care what you put into it. If you put decaf coffee in, you're going to get decaf coffee out. If you put tea in, you're going to get tea out. If you put chicken soup in the coffee maker, you're going to get chicken soup out. That's how the law works. What we put into it is reflected back to us as more of that. Alan Cohen says it beautifully. He says, you are always finding what you're looking for. How simple is that? You're always finding what you're looking for. I love that. And so there's one other problem. If that one isn't enough, that we focus on what we don't have, one more thing that we do is when things are really good, and this is even crazier than the other one, when things are really, really good, we get into the spheres. Oh my gosh, what if this goes away? Oh my gosh, what if this is taken from me? We're madly in love with someone. We think, oh my God, what if this relationship ends? What if my spouse dies? Brené Brown talks about that in her book. She says she's in her daughter's bedroom one night and she's a baby and she's watching her sleep and she's in love with this baby and she is just saturated and filled with gratitude. And then all of a sudden in her mind, she starts thinking, what if something bad happens to her? And starts imagining these bad things that might happen to her. Ripped right out of gratitude and right out of love. But we do that. We start catastrophizing and what if this thing ends or what if this thing is taken away instead of being in the gratitude of what is right in front of us. The ancient Greeks actually said that the opposite of joy is not sadness, but fear. Oh, fear. Fear that it could end, fear that there isn't going to be enough. That's what takes us out of joy. Anytime we're in fear, it's going to take us out of joy. And some of us, I know, were even taught, don't be too happy about that. Don't get too excited about it. Don't be too enthusiastic about it because you might jinx it. But you know what? It's the exact opposite. That is not the truth. The opposite is what is true, that gratitude and joy actually enable us to experience the good to a greater degree than we even do if we're not grateful. That our gratitude and our joy allow us to witness all the good that's around us. Our gratitude and joy allow us to experience those things more fully in our lives. And like I said, then because we are open with this open posture, we're open to receiving even more. That's the way that it works. And so I'd like to right now actually give you the opportunity to experience and to feel and to witness your own gratitude. And so you have three little pieces of paper in your bulletin, and I invite you to take those out. And if you're missing them, if you raise your hand, I think you can probably get some more. And if you need a pen, Barbara has pens back there. Raise your hand if you need a pen. And so what I'd like you to do is on each piece of paper, each of those three, is to write down something for which you are grateful. And if you were in class this week, write down three other things that you didn't write down this week in class. Does everybody have three? So now what I want you to do is tell someone who's sitting next to you what your three are. Huh? No. And so how is that? Does that increase your experience of gratitude? Does it allow it to be an expanded experience within you? And so what I'd like to do now is to collect your gratitude notes. Barbara, you need to go down the middle. And so my invitation to you is to actively practice gratitude, to consciously shift your focus from what you don't have enough of to what you do have enough of and how grateful you are for that particular thing in your life. To consciously be aware of when you start jumping into that fear, what if this is taken away? And instead to just let yourself revel in the gratitude that you have for that particular thing in your life and how blessed you are by having that in your life. My invitation to you is to start your own gratitude jar. Barbara, will you bring that up here? To start your own gratitude jar, to start your own gratitude journal where you write down things that you're grateful for every day. Thank you. And to say your gratitudes out loud when you're doing your prayer work. You know, we do grace every night at dinner, and the grace is actually gratitude and naming the things that we feel grateful for. It's so wonderful and enables us to feel so blessed and to expand that experience of our own gratitude and the things that are in our lives. To practice sufficiency, to recognize that there is an infinite presence in your life already, that there is infinite good in this universe that is boundless, that is endless, that is just waiting for your openness and your acceptance of it. Live in that awareness of the abundance of good in your life and the abundance of good in the universe and the abundance of good in this world that is already manifest. And as a result, you'll be living in joy. You'll be living with a greater openness to receive, and you'll be feeling the blessing of even just being alive and being on this planet. And so blessings to each and every single one of you as you open up more and more to living this magnificent life and creating your own magnificent life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer right now. How good it is and what a blessing it is to recognize this infinite presence that we live in. This one power, this one presence, this one life, this one beingness that permeates all things. That which was before time began and that which is ever present everywhere in its fullness, in its allness, in its wholeness. And part of what that presence is infinite potential and the good itself. And so I know that everything is filled with this presence. That this presence is not just filling everything, but is expressing itself as everything that is. As everything that has ever been and everything that will ever be. And we are one with that presence. For we are each and every one of us an incarnation of that infinite one. Here, expressing ourselves as conduits for that one. And in this openness and in this receptivity and in this gratitude, we open ourselves as conduits to allow even more good to flow into our lives and out from us to everyone that we come in contact with. The sharing of light and of love and of peace and of truth and of goodness. How good it is to be reveling in this awareness, to be marinating in our consciousness of infinite connection with this one, endless connection with this one. How good it is to be living in this awareness. And so today I bless this jar full of good that we already have in our lives. Bless this jar of blessings that we are each already not just receiving, but living. How good it is to be in recognition of all of that good. And so today I know that we can never be separate or apart from that one. For it is in us, it is through us, and it is us here, expressing uniquely as each one of us. And so as we walk this day, as we leave this room, as we go through our day, we not only take that presence with us, but it is carrying us. It is leading us and guiding us and unfolding through and around each one of us as an ever-increasing abundance of good. How grateful I am to know that. And so it is with that today that I give thanks for all of the good, that I bless all of the good that we already have and all of the good that is to come. Health and wholeness and peace and prosperity and joy and connection and love, all of it is this one expressing itself. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now. How grateful I am. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I let it be. And so it is.